it's important to highlight that it's not like, okay, one test, this is it. This is where you can see this person is something or not. Because talent is so much. It's not like just one thing. It's so interesting because talent is nothing and all at the same time. You can have one person who can't do weightlift and who's really like shaky, but they are working really hard and they bring some potential, but it's like, I'm not sure, but you give them a chance and they are working their way up and it's like, wow, okay, never thought you could get this good. But also you have people who are like, it's the classic thing in talent, who are really good and you think, yes, they have so much potential, we can work with that, and then they are not going like more up. Yeah, so I think it's very important to highlight that searching for talent is not like just this diagnostic test. It's just one tool and you need to put it in a bigger perspective. You can't just say, okay, we're doing this, okay, here are 100 people, we're pulling them through, and then at the end we select. I think this is the dumbest thing you can do when you're searching for talent, because there's so much more in general to people than just how they move. I mean, especially if you test women with their menstrual cycle, maybe they have a bad day.
Hi Sabine, welcome to Evidence Strong Show. It's my pleasure to have you. Please briefly introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me. My name is Sabine Dieser. I'm working for the German Weightlifting Federation as a youth coach, I think a little bit than 3 years now. And I'm working full-time in Leimen.
Okay, so I invited you to talk a little bit about the German system for finding and recruiting athletes, to enter them in the system and to hopefully get them to the podium, whether it would be international competition in Europe or Worlds or Olympics. So I would like us to start with going through how the German transfer system works.
Okay, yes, how does the system work? So first of all, the system is still in the development phase. As I said earlier, I started 3 years ago and it all started with me, you can say. I mean, there was talent transfer before, but it was all like, yeah, it was maybe there was one or not, but it was not really like a system. So, and like in other countries. So when we started 3 years ago, I had to really start from the bottom and build that system up. So all I know was from university and everything I read in the books and the studies, and I had to put it into practice. And when you come from university, you are, it's all theory. And then you try to test it out in the field. What like really like the study. Yeah, so first of all, when I came to the German Weightlifting Federation, we already had like a diagnostic system for athletes. We do it once a year. Really nice, because we are putting all the youth athletes together, get them together and doing like jumping and throwing and sprinting and all this. And so, but I think we just do it 4 or 3 years now, but I could took these data or these excellent tests we use there and look up what I can use, maybe also for people who are not doing weightlifting. But it was also hard, because how can you compare data of weightlifters to non-weightlifters when they are starting in the sport, and what is the range of numbers? Because we are just did it for 3 to 4 years, and after that short period of time you don't know, it's too short to say, okay, weightlifters need to jump this high on to run this fast. So it was just like an anchor that I could use. But then I also put in like, so we had jumping, like counter movement jump, squat jump, with arm swing, without, and then we also add like grip strength. This word is killing me. And also, like, I looked this word up, it's like Schockwurf in German, and there's not, if I translate it word for word, a shock throw, but it's like a backwards overhead throw with a heavy ball. Because we have one scientific institution, it's in Leipzig, and they found that the relation between the throwing with weight and weightlifting capability is very high. But one thing is, you need to know how to throw. So this is, I put this in my diagnostic, but when they doing it for the first time, it's also hard, because you have the part where you have to learn how to throw. What I also put into this diagnostic, which we are not doing in the general with the youth athletes, like board specific mobility, because yes, weightlifter already have it, otherwise they were not a weightlifter. And yeah, so this is something I learned, that people who come already need to have it, because this is something you can't learn in a late stage of age. I hope I say it right. Because you already need to be able to go in the overhead squat position and stuff like this.
So in terms of mobility, what are the key factors you check with the potential weightlifters?
I took from the functional movement screen test. There are like this one test where you can measure how good they are getting their back at the hands together at the back. And also I just let them squat down with a bar over their head and just look at it and made a 3-point system from 1, 2, 3, how good they are getting down, if they're leaning forward, if they're still on the whole foot, if the bar in the center of mat, and like score them on that, yes, on at the end, because I took it from the functional movement screen. They have this 1, 2, 3 scoring system, and I thought, okay, this is a good system to get an objective answer about their mobility.
Do you do any squatting, like 1 RM back squat or?
Not in the test, no. I asked them before when they have, so maybe I have to say before, there are 3 ways how the athletes are coming to us. I have like on the website a button where you can click and say I want to be an athlete, I think I have potential, and then they are coming to me, so I need the email, and then they are saying, okay, please send me your data, like what, or send me a video, how do you snatch, how do you clean and jerk if you're already able to do it, like CrossFitter, yes, and then I already asked them about their squat weight. But when I look at somebody, most of the times they are CrossFitters, they can already see it, or they have social media often, and I can just scroll through their profile, and then you see a lot of movements already where you can see how they work, if they're like struggling going up, or if they're really strong legs and going up like an elevator, it's no problem. Yeah, and as you already saw on the website, we have this table. It's like from our, yeah, I searched the word for it. In Germany, the sporting system is, we have different groups. It's like a youth group with promising athletes, and you need a kind of total to get into that in weightlifting. And then there are the next up is like a perspective group, if you're translated word for word. And after that, you have the Olympic group who are going to the Olympic Games. And I took the total from the youth group, like when you need to do, I don't know, 180 kilograms to get in the youth group. I had a person at the Leipzig Scientific Institute who did the math mm-hmm. for me, who, yes, and he then showed me what they need to squat, what they need to like deadlift or press to be able to do this total. And this is how the table you already presented in another story, yeah, came together. And it's like a really good guideline, because when they are not able to snatch and clean, but they say, yeah, I can squat 140 kilograms, I can see, okay, is this good or bad? Are they able to do this and this total in the future?
Awesome. So we went through the test. So you said 3 ways. One is the website. How do you
find that? The first one is the website. I like, because when I started this, I was like, okay, I need to go on other sport, and I look at people and I find them and I take them. But this is the way that we're working the less. I think it's wrong. It's not working very well from all the 3 ways. Because when I'm going to a competition and I see a promising athlete, but they are still in the sport, you normally don't get them out. Because when they are still participating in competitions, it's, yeah, they are still with their heads in it, and they are not in this kind of process. Maybe I stop, maybe I want to do something other. So normally I don't go anymore to like competitions. Sometimes I go to CrossFit because it's so near and I can already see the weightlifting, but it's highly unlikely that you are getting them out of the sport if they're happy to do it. So why should they change? Sometimes they do both, but if you want to be, we are searching for people who can get on an elite level. I don't look for lifters who maybe are good on the national levels and performing at the national competition. I really look for people who can like win medals, or in the best case, going to the Olympic Games. So you can't do both. And most of them with it's completely okay, don't like to stop doing CrossFit, except one. There was one. So it's not like the way it's not working. You can also do it. There was one person, her name is Elena Kreutz. I found her, I think, 2021 at the functional fitness competition in Berlin. And she was like really doing really good in a clean ladder. They have to do a clean every 60 sets every minute. And they have, I think, 2.5 kilogram had to go up. And I think she stopped at 97. Yeah, but it was nearly to 100 kilos. So this is where she stopped. And I was like really impressed. And after that, I talked to her and said, hey, I think you can be very good at weightlifting. What do you think about it? And then she was like, okay, now what I like about it. And I think it was half a year later, she said, okay, let's do this. And now we created a special group in the system for these kind of people. I can't translate it in English, in German, like again, so Skada. The word is, yeah, it's like they are not there in the system, but they don't get some kind of money, but we can like take them when we are doing training camps or stuff like this. We are allowed to take them with us. because we are funded by the government. And we also need a reason where we put our money. So we created a special group and she's in it. And now last year she put 20 kilograms on her total. And this year, last weekend, she nearly made it again, but she missed the 110 kilograms and the clean and jerk. So, but it's okay. I think she will easily make it this year and it's kind of exciting. So yeah, so the way it's also working, if you go to competition, it's fine people, but I think the leaf one where you get the most out. Okay. Yeah, so this is the other one. And the third one is like other coaches over Germany who are calling me or writing me and saying, hey, I have an athlete, maybe she's something for you, you want to come and look? And then I pack my stuff, my little performance diagnostic with me, because I made the diagnostic so that I can do it on every place. I don't need like specific stuff that I only have at our headquarter. Yes, I can do it everywhere. So 2022, I think I was in so many cities in Germany because I drive everywhere and test these people who are maybe promising. Yeah, so this is the third way.
So do you think that coaches are the best source at the moment?
Yes, and I think it's not working without them right now. It's just me. We only have at the federation, I'm the one who's responsible for it. And of course, my colleagues are helping me a lot and need some help. They are there, but I'm the one who's doing this like active searching. But I'm one person for Germany. I mean, Germany's not that big, but I can't do it. I need other coaches, especially maybe CrossFit coaches who are in the CrossFit boxes and yeah, see their athletes or I don't know any people, because yeah, it doesn't work otherwise. So I think this is really the way for the future at like our sporting schools where their athletes are and just to train and sport. It works much better because there are many different sports and the coaches, they like, okay, I have one. I think it doesn't work out anymore. Maybe you want to try it in weightlifting and then they are like changing from, I don't know, ice skating to weightlifting. And it's like more common. And it's also more common in East Germany because when we were parted many years ago, Germany, it was normal in this part of Germany that they are putting the athletes. So talent transfer, it occurs all the time because the goal was to work as many medals for the system as they can get. So when the athlete is not performing in one spot, they're putting them in another. So it's still a little bit more common there because it was normal at the time. And some coaches who are working there now are still from that period of time. So it's no thing for them. Yeah.
Awesome. So you're using network. I wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit more about your diagnostic kit. You said you design the system so that you can travel and test your athletes wherever. So what is in your diagnostic kit?
I think it's nothing special. When I started, as I said earlier, I just looked at our general testing, what we do once a year, and picked out what I can do on the road and what I can use. Yes, but what I do is I do the jumping test. Like I have the opto jump. I think, yeah, it's the same word in English, of course. And it's very easy because you have it in a big bag and I can take with me in my laptop. And I do the counter movement jump with and without arms. I do the squat jump. I know it's hard because squat jump, I wasn't sure if I should do it or not because most people are not able to jump from this really like static position. They are normally just doing this like kind of little movement. Yeah, but when I read about it, yes, normally I think you want the big difference between counter movement jump and squat jump, but in weightlifting I would like to have more small difference, because when people are able to produce high force out of this like more static position, I think it's better for weightlifting because we're also starting slow and not having like this movement where you have the tension on the muscle. So I put it in. I thought, okay, maybe at the end I can't use it, but I collect this data. So yeah, I have the squat jump and I have the standing broad jump when you're at the line and you just jump one time. Yeah.
I have a question about the opto jump. Is it force plate? What is it? The measuring tool you use?
The opto jump is like there are like two bars on the side and they're work with with a light system. When you're standing in, the light system texts, okay, there is somebody. And when you leave the ground and come back down, and they can measure how long you were in the air. So it's like 1 meter long, and you just put it like to the side, and then the inside you jump. Yes. And I also looked it up. It's from jumping height. It's also like the same relatable, like a fourth plate. So the if you let someone jump on a fourth plate, and then in the opto jump, they saying the same number. So it's like really reliable. Yes, I think this is the word what I was searching for. Yes. So except when they are like pulling their knees up, but it's the same with the fourth plate. So yeah, and you just, it's like 1 meter long. You can put it in a bag and take it with you. So
imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
But yeah, it's very easy to go from A to B other than the fourth plate.
What do you use for broad jump? Do you measure just the length?
Yes. And this is like really old school. I'm measuring tape and a starting point. Then I have a stick. I'm like really close to them. And when they are jumping, I just throw the stick where they are land. And then I just look, it's nothing special. You could also use the opto jump when you have more than two and put them, because you can also like this. Yes, you can also do it like this. But again, it costs a lot of money. And I don't know how much one of these things is. And also maybe it's 2 or 3 centimeters more accurate, but it's the overall impression that I get also. So I'm doing it old school with the measuring tape. Yes, and with the grip syringe, I'm having like also like a regular system where you can, it's nothing special. But I have 2 ways of measuring it, because when I looked it up, I found 2 different ways in the scientific literature how they did it. The first one is when you're just sitting and everything is in this angle and you're just pressing like in a static position, and the other one is when you are up and you press and go down, 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 and at the lowest point, leave it. I just do both still, because I can't figure out which one. It's not like one of them produces much more force than the others. It depends really on the person. So I guess left it like this. So yeah.
So you will wait a few years to see who is right.
Yes, like this. I also, at the beginning, I had like the 30-meter sprint, but I put it out because I didn't get the data I wanted. And it was also like, this was hard to do when I'm on the road, because I always needed like a straight and flat surface, and then on the street, and it was like, you have to do it with your hand, because I didn't have a system for this to measure it very accurate. And then I did it with 2 persons, and we take the middle number of it, and yeah. But this is what I already put out. But right now I thought, okay, I leave it in, because it doesn't hurt to do it. And I'm still trying to figure out what kind of numbers do I searching for. Of course, you have like in the literature, what is a good jumping height and what is bad. But there's nothing like really good scientific evidence about how high needs a weightlifter to jump, male or female. The different, you don't find that anywhere. Yeah, I had one girl, she was like jumping, I think, 46 centimeters high, and it was like really impressed. And she's also a good weightlifter, but she didn't like the jump to the international level. She's still doing weightlifting on the national level and is doing really good, but it's not like, yeah, this is it. But I also had just girls who were just jumping 35 centimeters, and they are really good weightlifters now and performing very well. So I tried to find this range also with grip strength, what a good grip is, but I don't know what is the range really exactly for good weightlifters. And also if you're a girl or boy, and if you are like old old or older, younger, it depends. And yeah, right now I'm just like collecting this data and looking overall at it with the, yeah, with the mobility and stuff like this, and just put it together at the end.
One more test I remember you mentioned the back throw with a medicine ball.
Yeah.
Do you measure with the tape?
Yes, I also measure with a tape. Normally this I have to do outdoors. I have like special ball. It's like 4 kilograms,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the one with the soft, so you can throw it also outside on the concrete and you don't, yeah, destroy the floor. And this is something really interesting because this exercise is also done in the youth competition, because when you are young, you are not just doing clean and jerk and snatch, but you also have to do athletics, and they are like backward overhead throw, and there's also like standing broad jump, but you have to jump 3 times. It's not just one. And you also have like a running test where there are boards like this, 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 and this, and you start and you have to tap them all and then just get back. So this is like the speed test. And when you are young and in weightlifting, you have to do clean and jerk and snatch, and you also have to do the athletic part. So the back throw, we have data from so many years, and this is also why the institute in Leipzig, they found out, okay, this is highly related to weightlifting. Yes, so I took this in, and this is, but as I said earlier, kind of hard because the kid, they are learning it at their club where they are lifting, they are trying it before and they're getting explained and they are growing up with this kind of exercise. But when I test someone, I don't know, who's 20 years old, and I say, okay, here's the ball, now throw it just backwards as hard as you can, it's like, okay, what? And they are just trying it. So now we made an explanation video on our Instagram site. And when I have someone and we are doing the testing, or I know we are doing the testing, I send them what we are doing so they can try it before. And I also send them the link to the explanation video, how you throw backward. Because the small ball is good, the 4 kilo, it's better be smaller, but you can also learn it with a medicine ball. It's bigger and it's a little bit harder, but you get the movement. So yeah, this is important that they know what to do before. Yeah, and but also there I know which throwing length is good, because also of the data we already collected. But you also have to keep in mind, okay, they didn't do it for like 5 years in the youth part, they're just doing it now. So yeah.
So there likely will have to be some kind of adjustment for the athletes who come to the sport later, but you don't know yet how much of adjustment they will need.
But I'm just doing this like throwing. It's not a thing for them, because when you're over 18, you don't do it anymore in competition. It was like just an idea from the, and I think it's a very good idea, that they don't getting this early specialization, that they have to train some kind of athletic. I think many years it was more they had to do than just weightlifting, but it was like a try to get them out of this early specialization. So it's not a thing anymore when you're over 18, and they just have to do it in my little diagnosis. So yeah.
Okay, did we cover all the tests you're doing with the potential athletes that will transfer?
Yes, I think, yeah, I said everything I do. Yes, and I think I need about 1 hour to complete it with somebody.
Wow, that's not too bad. 1 hour is not too bad.
Yeah, well, it depends on how fast we are and how much we're talking in between and how much rest they need between the jumping sets. Normally I say, okay, not more than 2 minutes, and I put a timer on to like standardize it a little bit more. But when they are all the time take the 2 minutes, it's longer. But normally they say after 1 minute, okay, we can go again. So yeah, but when I'm fast, I need 1 hour. Yeah.
So do you do each test 3 times, or how do you make sure that it was not just a random, you know, they'd made a mistake and it didn't go well, or it was the performance of their life?
So I do everyone, yeah, 3 times. So this is like the normal thing. Also in the like shoulder thing, they have also like 2 times, because the first time you do it, you get more mobility the more often you do it. And yes, so normally one thing I forgot, I also do from the FMS test, the middle part stability. But they are, I wanted to know how good they are on their core, how strong they are. And there are just 2 tests in the FMS that I do. It's like a little bit like a push-up. Women have to do their thumbs on the height of their chin, and you have to push up 1 time. But I never saw someone who didn't make 3 points in this because you just have to do it one time and go up in a straight line. And the other one is a little bit more tricky, and where you can also see, because a good limb weightlifter is also very symmetrical, I think is the word, where you are like on all fours and you shift your weight to one side, and then you have to put your elbows and knee on one side together and then the other. And some people can, they just do it for the first time and they are really good. It's no problem. They don't falling over. But others, they can't do it. It's not working. They can't like balance their weight on one side and put the other one. So it's also very interesting to see, but it's not like a do or die part of the diagnostic. Yeah.
So is it the test you said you took it from the functional? So young weightlifters are not doing it as part of
that. No, this one is not doing it in the bigger. Also, the overall youth testing is in an Olympic center in Heidelberg. They are doing it like, I think it's 1 week, and it's really like on a very professional level. And yeah, I'm doing smaller. I think, as I said, I need 1 hour. I can do it everywhere. And it's just to get like an impression. I also think it's important to highlight that it's not like, okay, one test, this is it. This is where you can see this person is something or not. Because talent is so much, it's not like just one thing. It's so interesting because talent is nothing and all at the same time. You can have one person who can't do weightlift and who's really like shaky, but they are working really hard and they bring some potential, but it's like, I'm not sure, but you give them a chance and they are working their way up and it's like, wow, okay, never thought you could get this good. But also you have people who are like, it's the classic thing in talent, who are really good and you think, yes, they have so much potential, we can work with that, and then they are not going like more up. Yeah, so I think it's very important to highlight that searching for talent is not like just this diagnostic test. It's just one tool, and you need to put it in a bigger perspective. You can't just say, okay, we're doing this. Okay, here are 100 people, we're pulling them through, and then at the end we select. I think this is the dumbest thing you can do when you're searching for talent, because there's so much more in general to people than just how they move. I mean, especially if you test women with their menstrual cycle, maybe they have a bad day, or maybe your grandma died last weekend, or I don't know, you're in a bad mood in general. And when I do the test with you 2 weeks later, you perform much better. I had it with one athlete of mine. There was like many people and they were all standing around and they had to do the jumping. Everybody was looking like this and she was like standing there and the jump was like, okay, like this. And she was like very nervous. She was jumping not so high and I was like, okay, what? This is not good. So what's going on, girl? And then we did it like 2 weeks later when there was nobody, just us. I mean, she had to learn it because when you're on the stage, there are also people looking, but she jumped much higher. And I think this is also something you need to keep in mind when you're searching for talents, that there you also need to look at the person and not just at the data.
Yeah, that's a good advice. So you go and test the athletes. Now we know how you recruit them, we know how you test them. Now what happens after that?
So yeah, how do I recruit them when they are writing to me? As I said earlier, they also had to send me like a CV about their sporting life, what they did already, and maybe if they did competitions or were on the podium someday. This is what they also had to send me before. I'm not sure if I mentioned this earlier. So yeah, this is what I get. Also with what I said, with the data they already can give to me, like squat or something like this. And then I have the small diagnostic. And at the end, they're also getting like a paper where they have to write like if they have a history of injury and maybe why do they want to come in weightlifting and what is their goal and why they think they are good at this. I also did my psychological test, but I put it out again because it's not, their name is on it and they write me what I want to hear. So I did it and I was like, wow, everybody is so good. And also when they are doing this test, they keep their donator sport in mind. And when they're coming from CrossFit, it's like very different to weightlifting for them, or most of them, because in CrossFit you're on the floor with like 20 people and you're just one of 20 or 10, I don't know. And it's okay. But in weightlifting, everything is quiet. You're on the stage and everybody's looking. And I had some athletes who perform very well in CrossFit, but they can't perform in weightlifting because they can't take the situation on the stage. So So when they are like doing this psychological test, I see, okay, it's very good. But then they're on the stage and they start crying. So it's not, I thought, okay, it's not something I can use because it's not what I see in real life. So yeah, but I really wish there was some psychological test or something like this that I would be more useful, because I think it's also an important part. Yeah, but it's also like after that, after the diagnostic, I talk with them and talk about also what their goals are, and I explain to them the system in Germany, how does this work, how is the journey that would start if they are getting into the system. Yes, and most of the time you also get a lot of information on this way, and then when I have everything, I just put it in my office and go home. And then like 2 or 3 days later, I don't know, maybe there's a week in between, I look at this again and also talk to my colleagues and explain them and show them the videos of them and show them how they did in the diagnostic. And because they didn't meet the person and they have like more the objective eye on the data I collected, and also many of them are way longer in weightlifting than me and have this expert eye and can give me their opinion. And then this is the hardest part, because there are not like, in the most times, it's not like a clear yes or a clear no. I also had this in the past, but most of them are like something in between. So, okay, maybe it could be work, it could not. And then when because it's not like I have 100 people every month, not now at least, I have some girl, I said, okay, you just started weightlifting, do you want to come a weekend and we train? So she's coming on Friday, and we have like an athlete room in our sports center, and she's there a night, and at the next day we train again. So I can see, okay, how is she receiving like my feedback, and how is she working with it, and can she, when I say, okay, do this and this, is she able to show some improvement fast, or do I need to explain it like 20 times and it still doesn't work? So yeah, this is often what I do, or when they are not near to me. So in some other part of Germany, I just call a colleague and say, hey, I have somebody, maybe she or he has some potential. As I said earlier, most of the time.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team, or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's a sheet. So you can take her and maybe get her into your training club and do some sessions with her, or maybe take her to a competition and we can just work with her. Because as I said earlier, talent is all or nothing, and you can just pick one point and say, and on this one time say, okay, this is good or this is bad. Most of the times they need time to develop, especially when they are younger, because it's also something that when I see someone, or when they come to me or the coaches, first of all, I ask for the chronological age, of course. The second one, maybe the biological age. So if they're really like the age they are on the paper, or maybe they are back, or they are developed faster.
How do you define the biological age?
There is the Mirwald formula. It was a guy, scientific guy, who made like an equation, a Mirwald equation, where you can put the data in Leipzig. The scientific institute, they make biofinal, it's called. It's like, I can do it on my computer. It's a mask where I put the data in, and then it's throwing me out. I think it's about the Mirwald equation, what it is, if they are back or more developed or normal. Yes, so, but it's because I search for like 16 and older. This is not so common, but I also had one girl. She was like, I met her when she was nearly 18. Like 17. And when I saw her, I thought she was 14 or 15. She looked like really young and she was there with her parents. It was like a little bit quiet, shy. Yeah, like I didn't thought she was nearly 18. And when I put it in the bio finale, I thought, okay, she's also back in her age. And I gave her to one of my colleagues. So she's fortunately also in the south of Germany. And she's starting now for the club in the Bundesliga, in the second Bundesliga, second league. And now this year, she was also last week with us at the competition. And she really started to like get there. It was like, I think it was also 2 years ago that I saw her and didn't make like the youth squad or something like this. She was already like 20 or 30 kilograms away, I think, from the total she needs. And now she's like really coming. And this is so nice to see, because some people are, especially the younger ones, they just need the time to develop. So as the older you are and you're coming into like this talent transfer system, it's the shorter period of time you have. But I think when you're 17, it's okay, take your time. Yeah, and this is also something I saw, and I was like, okay, the range, how much time they need to get very good, is also very different. So when I get them and I'm not sure if yes or no, I also like to give them some time. Sometimes they are like really hyped about Olympic lifting, and 1 year later they are like, oh no, maybe I switch to powerlifting, and then okay, bye, I know this doesn't work. But yeah, some of them, they just need time, and I'm very happy when I have like a other club overall Germany who can help me and take them in and work with them and give them a training plan or something like this. Yeah, and then most of the time, half or 1 year later, we meet again and we see how they work their way up. And yeah, this is what happens after it. So there's no special thing. It's not like, okay, now you get 200 euros a month and you have to come here, you have to sleep here, you have to like this. It's not working anymore. We just leave them in their environment where they are and try to, when they are near to us, to say, okay, you can come here to train if you like. We have 2 times a week like a training for talented people who are not at our sporting center, but who maybe could be something. And I say, yeah, you can come, you can sleep in our room. Then I also see, okay, how motivated are them? If they are, would they drive 300 kilometers to come here to train at our main center, or do they say no, it's too far? It's also about motivation, and this is nice to see it in a longer period of time, because you see so much. Yeah, so then they are getting in the talent transfer pool, as I call it. Yeah, and some of them, they are putting themselves out again, and others trying everything to stay in and doing really good and getting in like this small extra squad. Right now there are 2 people in. Wow. It's like Elena Kreutz and Lucy Peberkorn. And as I said earlier, Elena's performing really well. She's going up. Lucy's in the small group since the start of the year. So she also have a plan what she needs to do this year to stay in it. But yeah, right now it's really looking really good. And we also have other girls who are like, it's Chiara Klug. She's really good. She also was like in competitive sports before. I was like in, so she came from winter sports to say this. Yeah, was like really good in it. She was also like talent of the year and stuff like this. But she did many sports. It was like, I talked to her once, I think for 1.5 hours about her sporting life before. And she was like really, she did multiple sports and was really good in nearly every of them. But just in skiing, she was like very good. But I think with 18 years, she stopped and got to CrossFit and was very good at weightlifting. And she was so good, she made just the total you need to get into the squad. Yeah, just out of nothing. And now she is, I didn't have to do anything to do with it. She just came. She just did it and was like at a competition in weightlifting. And now she's like a full-time athlete and yeah, working her way up. I think she already won 3 medals last year at the Junior European Championship, 3-time bronze or something like, yeah. Yeah, so she's like really, like when you are reading scientific literature about talent transfer, she is someone you read about, because she did this multiple sports. She was like dancing, swimming, I don't know, climbing, and then like with the ski. She did so much. Yeah, so it was really nice to see that these people really exist, not only in scientific literature, but also in real life, especially in Germany and in weightlifting. And we had some other, her name is Sarah Bechter. A colleague of mine found her. He was like near to us, a coach from the state, from Rheinland-Pfalz. Yeah, and because she was under 20, he could work with her, because when she's getting to competition, like nationals competition, they are getting points for their athletes and they're getting some funding from their state. So he was, I did my testing with her and I was like, this is also very interesting. I was like, yeah, Tom, I don't know, the numbers are not that good. I'm not sure, but you can work with her because you're getting points for her. And just try it. But if she would have been older, I would have said, I think no, because she did not jump high. She didn't perform very well on one test, but it's so nice to see. And also for me to maybe think about this diagnostic again. And she also made the total to get into the national squad. Yeah, and is now also like training at our sporting center. And it's so nice because these two athletes already are in the squad and they came from different ways. And also before my time, there was Patricia Rieger. She's now Patricia Hoffmann, I think. She nearly made it to the Olympics 2020. And some of my colleagues found her on a video, I think, of a competition. I was going to my boss and said, hey, look at this lifter, I think she's very good. And then they took her in and she performed also very well, but it's also like coincidence. Yeah. So, and this is what I try to take out with all my work, just like, oh, he is somebody or not, to get the system running, and that we are having athletes from the system, like, I don't know, one or two a year would be nice. So yeah.
So how many, so you get one or two athletes a year, how many do you have to test and then send to the clubs? Yeah, I'm just trying to gather how big this endeavor is to get actually the athletes into the squads.
Yeah, I think my diagnostic I did this far with nearly 60 people, I think. Yeah, as I told earlier, Elena, she is one of them, and now it's Lucy and Sarah. So yeah, this is three of them who I tested with. Chiara, I did it later because she was already part of the squad, but I wanted to know how our numbers would be or have been. Yeah, so, but these three, these are people I tested and who are, yeah, where you can say are promising athletes. So yeah, you need to test a lot of people because, yeah, I think it's like, as I said earlier, talent is all or nothing. I don't see a person. And I also say, I think it's the dumbest thing when you see one person one time and say, oh no, this isn't it. Even when the people are sending me videos and I don't find them that promising, I say, okay, come, we are doing the testing and then we can talk about it. But yeah, I wish I would do more. When I could, I would do this every day. But yeah, like in 3 years, I did it with 60 people. Yeah, and here we are now.
That's awesome. That's pretty successful, I would say, from 63, 4, let's say 3.5.
Yes. Okay. It's always like, I think I could do more. Yeah. And I was like a little bit frustrated because of course, CrossFit, I think weightlifting gets this popularity. And I think, okay, guys, come to weightlifting. And yeah, but it's also like when you are in Germany, this topic is not that serious. I think when I talk to the German Olympic government, they know about it and they think it's a good and important topic, but it's there's nothing coming from them. So when you're in the UK, they have, I think, like 17 campaigns overall Great Britain, I think, for talent transfer. And on their website, they're writing that more than 100 out of this get to the elite level. And I'm not sure if to the Olympic Games, but their most popular example is Helen Glover. She's in rowing, I think. They found her at the first Sporting Giants campaign and she won everything you can win, like Olympic medal, world title, European title. And they thought, okay, it is a very successful program, so we're doing it again and again and again. And I think they put every year another government talent transfer campaign out. And my biggest wish is that we are doing it in Germany too someday, because it's very hard to work out of one small weightlifting. We are very small sport in Germany compared to other out of it, and try to find it in other sports, because in long term, I don't just need coaches in my sport who are looking all over Germany. I need coaches like they're doing it in East Germany. As I explained it earlier, to say I have one athlete, she's not good in my sport. Maybe she's good at your sport. Do you want to try it? But it's like this negative stigma where they're going, oh no, you want to take my athlete from me. And this is also why I'm not going to competition, because it's not like you are welcome with open arms. There's like a set. In Germany, the Track and Field Federation, there's like this funny thing where the skeleton and Bob, I don't know if it's the same word in English, we're going this ice kennel down.
Yeah.
And they are not allowed to go. Yeah, bobsled, sorry. Where they are not allowed to go like competitions or something like this, because they are getting the sprinters out of Track and Field for bobsled. Like Alexandra Burkhardt last year, I think she won also a medal last year. She won also a medal at Winter Olympic Games, and she's normally a 100 meter sprint, I think. Yeah, because they think you're stealing their athletes.
Okay, so I think we have, you mentioned success stories beautifully throughout the interview, so that's awesome. Do you have any advice for athletes and parents and coaches in terms of talent transfer? Just a summary, because you said a lot already, but just a summary.
Yeah, if you want to change your sport or you think you'd be good at another sport, just do it. Go to another club, or go to the sport and just try it out. This is what you can do. I mean, if it's a sport like us, I have this like button where you can click on the website and say, hey, I think I'm good. Here I am, and try it out. What is the worst that can happen?
That's awesome. That's very encouraging. Okay. Did you say everything you wanted to say on the topic?
One last thing. I forgot to say it about finding the, it wasn't a topic where you asked the ways how I find athletes. There's just one thing. I also do competition where the entry level is like very low. You don't need like a total, or you don't need when you normally want to start at a weightlifting competition, you need like a little book where you have to pay like a license and stuff like this. Once a year, I do the women's power competition where you can just send online your best clean and jerk and snatch, and then I make a list, a table, and then the 10 best lifters getting an invitation to our sporting centers, and we do a little competition. And this is also where I saw Eleanor Kolz the first time. It was not at the functional fitness competition. This was where I saw her the first time in real time, but she took part in it. And when she did it, she was like, I think she snatched 60 kilogram and clean and jerk 80. But I was like captured. It was not good how she did it, but she was writing to me, yeah, I normally do CrossFit. I never did a weightlifting competition, but my friend said I should participate. So here I am. And I'm this and this old. And I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting. And then I knew she was at functional fitness competition. And then I drove to it. And then that's where I saw her. So maybe just also some kind of useful information.
The competition you mentioned. So you that's an online competition. How do you advertise on social media, or how?
Yes, I do it normally. But it's also something, because we are a small federation, I have to do it myself. But I'm not an expert in like this advertising. So I'm trying my best to do it in social media and like sending it to friends or clubs who I already know in weightlifting, and try to hope that they want to participate. Yeah. But it would be very useful if we had someone who knows how to do this. Yeah, but this is also something I try to do, like little fun. I think it's in England, I learned it's called mockery competition or mock competition or something like this.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, non-stressful way to give people a chance to
share. Yeah, and Yes, and like a really low entry level. So it's just really, I don't need anything else. Just send your video, your name, and maybe write your total, because when you're using a black plate, I can't see it what it is on the video. But yeah, and I think it's always fun. And this year I do it for the fourth time. So yeah.
Awesome. Okay, two quick questions. One is, what is your favorite color?
I thought about it, and it's royal blue and yellow.
Nice. And the second question is, if someone wants to contact you, they are a great athlete in Germany, or a parent or a coach who wants to contact you and talk about weightlifting, where they can find you online?
First, on our website. If you're going, you're probably, when you're here, so I say it in German, it's like the word, it's Leistungssport, and then there is Team, and this is where you'll find me. So on the German weightlifting website, and also when you just click on the button, talent transfer, it's going straight to me. And you can also write about social media. I think it's the same, like we communicate with my normal name, Sarah_Biene_Lisa. So this are the normal ways where you can find me, but you can also write a letter if you want. I take everything.
Awesome. Yeah. Sabina, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you and to talk talent transfer. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.